Boker Tov. Today's daf from Masechet Morah brought to you by Ben Chomot Yerushalayim with a full heart is Lamed Beit. And we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah. Echot Kotchib is not only that, but that the unfarned from the Halakha Perek we're holding. How do you like that? And Eloya Deo, Brucey doesn't want me to have a Boker Tov maybe today. I don't know, maybe he's upset, but I'm sure. Anyway, Echad Kachem is I know. I don't know. Echad Kachem is Be'ah, Echad Kachem Be'erekabayit, Ein Mishaninim Otam, Mikidusha LeKidusha. So first of all, you cannot change the level of Kedusha from one thing to another. So if you tried to be Mekadesh, Kachem Be'erekabayit to the Mizbeach, wouldn't be anything. Wouldn't be meaningful at all. And you cannot change the Kedusha of Berek HaBayit from one of Mizbeach, from one type of Mizbeach to another type of Mizbeach. Let's say you have a Korban Shlomi. You can't make it into an Eila and say, well, till now it was only Kedesh Kedusha Kachim Kali, and now it's even Kedesh Kachim Kachim. There's no such thing. Once something has a din of Kedusha, and you're also over on the Issa, remember, that we learned from Bechor, which is lo yagdishi shoto. You're not allowed to change the level of a kiddush. But it also won't be chal. So this is our very, very tamura issue, obviously. Can you switch? Can you change kiddusha? Can you even add kiddusha on something? So when it comes to kachem mizbeach, what we're saying is kachem mizbeach, there is no change available from one type of kachem mizbeach to another kachem mizbeach. When we're talking about Kachem Be'erekabayit in the Reish here, Be'erek Kachem Be'erekabayit, we're saying you cannot change Kachem Be'erekabayit into Kachem Mizbeach by saying this animal that had been donated to the Be'erekabayit should be Kodesh as an Eila. Let's say. But it's really two separate halachas here. So in Mishaninotan, Mikdush HaLakdusha. However, Makdishinotan, when it comes to Kachem Mizbeach, the most we could say is you can't change it from one type of Kachem Mizbeach to another type of Kachem Mizbeach, but you can change it, in a sense, to Kachem Be'erekabayit. In what sense? I mean, obviously, it's not yours. So what do you mean? You're going to take an oil away from the Mizbeach, give it to Kachem Mizbeach? Of course not. But there's a concept called Hegdesh Ilui. What Hegdesh Ilui means is that whatever you have that is still valuable to you in this carbon, which belongs to Hegdesh, that monetary value you can commit to the Be'erekabayit, and then you'll have to pay Be'erekabayit for it, right? So what would that value be? Well, let's say you made something a carbon eila. So you'll say, a carbon eila, you don't have anything in that. Not true. I do have in that. Why? Because first of all, as we saw before in Arachin, what I have is that I could go to a friend and I could say, look, I have an animal that I said is going to be an Eila, and it's a Nadava. So, I mean, I could bring it for whoever I want. If you would like, I would bring it in your name. So you should have this chus. I would say, well, I wasn't planning on bringing an Eila, but I'll pay you 20% of the value of the animal. That's Tevas HaNo. Or I could go to somebody and I could say, look, no, I have a right to give this Eila to any Kohen that I want. And then he gets to keep the Or. That's valuable hide, right? So how much would you be willing to pay me to buy that right off of me and to be able to give it to your nephew as a Kohen? Okay, that type of thing. So whatever the idea is of the value, the maximal value in terms of money that I can get out of it, that I can give to the Be'erekabayit, that's called Hegdesh Ilui. Umachri Mimotam. Now, the pashtus of reading the Mishnah is obviously that Machri Mimotam is not another way of saying, normally, remember, there's two types of charam. One is if I use the word cherem, it's just another way of saying Hegdesh. So if I say, I am Macharim this to the Be'erekabayit, it's like saying, I'm Magdish this to the Be'erekabayit. It's the same exact thing. If I say, I maharim this to the Kohanim, that's a whole different halacha, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu introduces to us that there's this idea of kol cherem is given to you in Parshas Kerach. We're told that the Kohanim have that as one of the Chof Dalet Matnes Kohuna, that if somebody gives Kherem to the Kohanim, it is split between the Kohanim at that Mishma that we're working. There is a big machlokas that we had, whether if you don't define what the Kherem is for, whether Stam Charamim are Leberek Abayit, or Stam Charamim are to the Kohanim, right? But in this Mishnah, since we have two separate statements, we said, you could make Hegdesh Mizbeach, Magdishin Oto Hegdesh Ilui. What would that mean? That you would pay whatever value you have in it to the Berek Abayit. And then you say, Umachrimi Motan. I mean, it doesn't make sense to say that that means you can also give them the Berek Abayit by using the word Cherem. I mean, it seems to be talking about you could be Machrim them Cherem Kohani. So in the same way that the value you could give to Berek Abayit, if you're machrim them to the Kohanim, you could even be machrim a korban, and then you'd have to, the Kohen would own that schus to the Tovat Hana'ah. Don't know. Maybe it depends what you're the Gabi Stam Mecharamim. But the Mishnah certainly seems to be saying, however it is, there's two separate halachas. One that it could go to the Berek Abayit, and one that it could go to Kohanim. So that would mean, please keep in mind, that would mean that the cases in the Mishnah are actually complex. Because when it comes to Kochei Mizbeach, there is a change in Kedusha that could take place on three levels. You could attempt to change the name of the Korban, let's say to make a Shlomi Manoila, or vice versa. That doesn't work. You could attempt to give the innate value that you have in that Korban, which, if it were a nedava, would be some percentage of what somebody would be willing to pay. If it's a neder, then it's actually worth the whole thing to you, because a neder means I'm responsible for it, which means if anything happens to it, I got to pay the whole thing. So if you got to pay the whole thing, then that animal is worth to you the exchange of the whole value. So if you say, okay, whatever is in it for me, what's in it for you, man, is its entire value. Okay, so then you'll have to pay the value of the carbon to the Berek Abayit, besides bringing the carbon on the Mizbeach. That's called Hegdesh Ilui. Okay, so again, there would be two types of Hegdesh Ilui. One would be Hegdesh Ilui of a Nedava. One would be Hegdesh Ilui of a Neder. A Neder is worth 100%, a Nedava would worth some percentage, right? Then there would be a question of Charamim. Can I take Kochei Mizbeach and say, I want to give the value in it to the Kohanim? So then that would be a different type of Hegdesh Ilui, that I'm able to say, whatever, L'chora, that makes sense to be able to do. If I could do that for the Berek Abayit, I should be able to do it for the Kohanim. That means that the Mishnah is essentially talking about three different types of Kedusha, besides the subcategories of Kedusha in Kochei Mizbeach. So the three different types of Kedusha are Kochei Mizbeach, Kochei Berek Abayit, and Charmei Kohanim. That's the pashtus of how to read the Mishnah. And therefore, just to sum up, you cannot change the Hegdesh to Berek Abayit to anything, because you don't have any rights to it. Once you gave it to Hegdesh, boom, it's not yours, right? So I can't turn it into a korban. I can't give it to the Kohanim. What right do I have to say anything about it? It's not mine. So Charmei Kohanim, I keep doing this. Kochei Berek Abayit cannot be flipped in any way. Kochei Mizbeach, if you're trying to change the type of Kochei Mizbeach, the subcategory, also cannot be flipped. But if you're trying to turn Kochei Mizbeach, so to speak, into an additional Kedusha Berek Abayit in terms of the financial value that you have in it, which is called Hegdesh Ilui, Ilui Dami, there you can add, not flip, but you can add that Kedusha of the value to the Berek Abayit, and it seems that you could add to the Charmei Kohanim. If you made something Charmei Kohanim, you don't own it at all because it goes to the Kohen, right? So then you could not flip that for anything, because once you say this belongs to the Kohanim, it's no longer in your Rishus. Okay. Furthermore, the imetu yikaveru. If these animal dies, now that's mashma, any of the above. Echad kachem izbeach, the echad kachem berek habayit. If they die without your having been paid to them, even if the Kochei Mizbeach was a Balmon and is roi for Pidyon, you cannot be paid to them after they die. Why? Not because there's a problem of Ein Podenes HaKodashim, La'achila Leklavim, because that's not true about Berek Abayit. And who says if they die does not mean if they die with a Shechita knife and they were perfectly kosher Shechita. So then it wouldn't be lachilan leklavim. There's another problem. What is the other problem? The Torah says you need ha'amada v'ha'aracha. Ha'amada v'aracha means it has to stand in front of the Kohen. The Kohen has to be ma'arichit. It is very difficult to get a dead animal to stand up and be counted. And therefore, there's nothing to do with it at this point. It's not mine. I don't have a right to eat it. It still is kachim. And therefore, there's nothing I can do. All I can do is bury it. Rabbi Shimon says, now wait a minute. Kotshe berek habayit, if it died, you can be podet. So obviously Rabbi Shimon holds that when it comes to kotshe berek habayit, you do not need ha'amada v'aracha. And the din of ha'amada v'aracha is said only kotshe mizbeah. Therefore, who cares if it died? Hegdish owns the value, pay Hegdish for the value and take it. So somebody shechted it and now it's dead before they did ha'amada v'aracha, who cares? You don't need ha'amada v'aracha. Ask them how much they want for it. And they can do ha'aracha without ha'amada. They'll tell you this is what we think it's worth. It's good meat. It was shechted. You know, we forgot to do ha'amada v'aracha. We don't need to do ha'amada v'aracha. Therefore, why not pay for it? But since, note again, now these are all issues that the Gemara is going to be aimed on, which is why I am stressing them now, so that it'll be very clear when we go through the sugya. Note that Rabbi Shimon specifies, well, now kotshei berek habayit, they do not need ha'amada v'aracha, which is mashma that he's saying, as far as your statement of kotshei mizbeach is concerned, I agree that imetu yipadu. I disagree about the part that you said that all of the above imetu yipadu. That's. Oh, I'm sorry. I disagree with the fact that you said all types, including even berek habayit, is yikaveru. That I hold yipadu. Okay. We've got a good picture now of the Mishnah, and the Gemara is going to be making all of these diyukim that we made in the Mishnah. Om Rav Huna. Rav Huna says a remarkable thing. We just read the Mishnah. We were convinced that the Mishnah was saying that you can definitely make kotshei mizbeach hegdash iloi either for the berek habayit or for charmei koyanim, correct? And that was the whole point of saying two separate clauses. You can be magdishim otam hegdash iloi and you can be machrimi. Two separate things. Unbelievably, Rav Huna comes along and slaps us right across the face and says, no. Kachem is be'ach, that you tried to make a din of charmei koanim? Nothing. You didn't achieve anything. Now, this doesn't really make sense. Why would I not achieve anything? Since I do have that tovat hana'ah, which is both by the neder and the nedava, why can't I give it to the kohen if I want? How would that be different than berek habayit? Says Rav Huna, logically, it isn't. It's a gzeirat ha-katuv that the Torah HaKadosh says you cannot give that to a Kohen. Where does it say that? My timer. Or my Akrah, because it says, look at the pasuk. Ach kol cherem asher yecharam ish la-shem mikol asher lo mi-adam be-ima misteachuza lo yimacher v'lo yigael. And then it adds those very fateful words that we were derish exactly the opposite of the way Runa dashes them. And he closes with the words, Kol Cherem Kodesh Kodashimu LaShem. Remember our old Rasha on this pasuk is that Kol Cherem, even of Kodesh Kodashim, meaning so even if you have a holy animal, it doesn't matter, Kol Cherem, even of that, because the value would still be a good Cherem. But Rav Huna comes and says, yes, it would be a good cherem. But where does it go? La Hashem, not to the Kohanim. Which means that if you attempt to take Kachem Mizbeach and use its value to the Kohanim, the Torah is saying, sorry, I'm taking that cash. So you can't give it to the Kohanim. There is Hegdash Iloi, but not for Kohanim, only for the berek habayit. Which, of course, means that the two cases in the Mishnah seem to be redundant, because then machrimin would mean the same thing as giving it to the berek habayit. So that's what I was going to ask. It's an obvious problem in Rav Huna that he seems to certainly contradict the simple meaning of the Mishnah. Therefore, we darshan this, kol cherem de kodesh kadashim of kachem izbeach, havi l'ashem. It has to go l'ashem l'havi, not to kohen. Mitzvah. So now we ask on Rav Huna numerous questions from where we've always assumed that that's not the din. Says with version of right. Kachay berek habayit, that you tried to be tvisan ben the kachem izbeach ben the charmek yanim. So if you try to take one of the three different kedushas that we're talking about over here, what were the three kedushas? Kachur Mizbeach, Kachur Perek HaBayit, and Char Mikayanim. So if you attempt to use Char Mikayanim and say, I want them to go to the Mizbeach, or I want them to go to the Perek HaBayit, nothing, because it's not yours. Once you gave it to the Kohanim, how could you possibly decide, well, now I'm going to give it to the Mizbeach? Thank you. You're coming over and taking my thing and giving it to the Mizbeach. I mean, you can't do that. And Charmei Kohanim, Sheet Visa, Bein Lekachei Mizbeach, Bein Lekachei Perek HaBayit. So the same thing. I started with Kachei Perek HaBayit. I skipped. I'm sorry. Let's say it again. I started explaining the second piece. Kachei Perek HaBayit, that you tried to make Kachei Mizbeach, or you tried to make Charmei Kohanim, you don't own Kachei Perek HaBayit. Right? There's no value that you have. You can't say on your Kachei Perek HaBayit, I want to give it to a Kohen to be Zoch in the Or. Anything like that. So what do you own in it? That's how Rashi learns. Tosis argues and says it's a different problem, but let's take this. Charmei Kohanim, the same thing is true if you try to switch Charmei Kohanim for Kachei Mizbeach or Kachei Perek HaBayit, lo asav lo klum, because it belongs to the Kohen. Does not belong to you in any way. Now, note, Ravuna. The Braita only discusses the issue of trying to switch Perek HaBayit or Charmei Kohanim. It does not discuss the problems of switching the Kachei Mizbeach for Charmei Kohanim. Ha, ha, ha. Why doesn't it say that? No, lo asav lo klum. According to you, lo asav lo klum, because the Torah said you cannot take Kachei Mizbeach and make it Charmei Kohanim. And here it says you cannot take Kachei Perek HaBayit and make it Charmei Kohanim. Why doesn't it say you can't take Perek HaBayit or Kachei Mizbeach and make it Charmei Kohanim? How do you explain that? So clearly the Braita is saying not like you. Tiyuf to the Ravuna. Because our Kachei Mizbeach, on the other hand, the Braita, by leaving out so clearly Kachei Mizbeach, it's clear that it's saying that if it were Kachei Mizbeach, that you would be able to be matfis them to Charmei Kohanim and their Mashas HaAsri. We would never say lo asav lo klum. Tiyuf to the Ravuna. Amalach Ravuna. Now hold on a second. Remember that each one of these cases has two options, right? The two options are the same. If you try to take Kachei Mizbeach, if you try to take the Kachei Perek HaBayit that we started with and make them either Kachei Mizbeach or Charmei Kohanim, what's the deal? Nothing. If you take Charmei Kohanim and you try to make them either Kachei Mizbeach or Kachei Perek HaBayit, what's the deal? Nothing. Now, even according to me, could it have said Kachei Mizbeach? What would it have said? You can't make Kachei Mizbeach, not Charmei Kohanim, and not Kachei Perek HaBayit? I never said that. Of course you can make it Kachei Perek HaBayit. So, I mean, we're not gonna be able to say what we said about the other cases of Kachei Perek HaBayit. So by not saying it, the most you could say is it didn't say it because it wouldn't have been true, Lagabe the Kachei Perek HaBayit. That doesn't prove it wouldn't have been true, Lagabe the Charmei Kohanim. It would have been true, Lagabe the Charmei Kohanim. Therefore, says Ravuna, the only reason the Braisa left out the case of Kachei Mizbeach, you know why? Kishayre on the other case, Ahadar Shayre, because Kachei Mizbeach, that you would have been mafris to the Perek HaBayit, would have worked. So that case I can't say. Masha Sasui. But the Braita certainly agrees with me that if you were to try to take Kachei Mizbeach and make it into Charmei Kohanim, that would not work. Why is that a problem? Says the Gemara. I mean, so you could have said that case. You could have said, Kachei Mizbeach, that you try to make Charmei Kohanim won't work. Why don't you say that case? Says the Gemara, that doesn't mean, because the Braita is listing cases where one thing cannot become either of two other things. So that Charmei Kohanim cannot become not Perek HaBayit, not Mizbeach. Perek HaBayit cannot become not Charmei Kohanim and not Kachei Mizbeach. But how could I include Charmei Kohanim as something that will not be, rather Kachei Mizbeach, something that will not be either Charmei Kohanim or Perek HaBayit, because that wouldn't be true. So therefore, the Braita is only interested in listing one thing that can't be either of two things. So Tana di itpe tarte katani. The Tana is only dealing with things that can't be switched to either of two other options. But if you cannot state that you can't switch to either of two options, then it ruins the whole parallelism in the Braita. I'm not going to talk about that case. The let be tarte lo katan. He says, that makes perfectly good sense according to me. And if I were writing this Braita myself, I would have written it that way. So don't ask me questions. Fine. Says the Gemara, okay, but what about the Mishnah? I mean, for heaven's sakes, the Mishnah says two different cases. The Mishnah says, first of all, you should just know that when you have kachem izbeach, you could be magdish them, hegdish ilui, to the bedek abayit, and you can be machrim them. Okay, now what do those two words mean? I mean, when it says you can be magdish hegdish ilui, my love, hegdish ilui means you can be magdish at the bedek abayit, and when it says machrimim otam, it means you can be machrim at the charmei kayani. So it's also tiyuf to the Ravuna. No, says Ravuna, no, I know it sounds weird, but actually, both cases are talking about Bedek Abayit. Definitely not Charmei Kohanim, because the Torah said you can't. So what do you want from me? Idivida is Kachem Bedek Abayit. Why does it say two cases? It's just telling you, look, it doesn't matter how you phrase it. You want to say, see, this Kachem is Beach. I want it to be Kadesh for the Bedek Abayit. Okay, you want to be Kodesh? That makes sense, I would say, whatever value I have in it. But if you would have said, I want to be machrimin, what do you mean machrimin? Machrimin means you're taking off all ba'alut from it, and now it goes automatically. You can't use that language because that's not up to you. So therefore, the Mishnah has to tell me it doesn't matter. If you use the word chayrim, we interpret it to mean that all you wanted to do was to give the value, even though that's not the normal way to say it, even if you use that word. So loshna mapiklu b'loshna hekdesh l'bedek abayit. And Ravuna is coming to tell me the way that you phrase it is not really germane. So if you said it the correct way, which is I'm giving it as a hegdesh, or loshna mapiklu b'loshen charmei l'bedek abayit, it's the same thing. But obviously, if the pasuk says you can't give it to kohanim, it's not referring to charim kohanim. What can you do? Says the Gemara, well, that sounds good, except that unfortunately there is a braita. And as Braitas are wont to do, they come along and they explain the Mishnayos, as the Rambam says in the Hagdama, right? That's the point of a Braita. Well, we got bad news for you because Ravuna Atana explained the Mishnah and did not leave room for your misinterpretations. The Tanya Bebraita, because the Braita says, Hegdesh Eloi, when we say that you can be Magdish Kachem Izbeach Hegdesh Eloi, what did the Mishnah mean? It meant Kachem Bedek Abayit. When the Mishnah said Machrimim Otam, what do you think the Mishnah meant? Listen closely. Charmei Kohanim. That's not good. That's not good. And not to mention the fact that there's another Braita that says, V'od HaTanya, Kachem Izbeach Shigdisho LeCharmei Kohanim, Masha Asa Asui. I think this is pretty much, you're ready to throw in the towel. Diyufta Ravuna. Okay. Checkmate. Diyufta. Okay. That's the end of Ravuna. What do you mean the end of Ravuna? But Ravuna said it's a pasuk. I mean, who do we rely on? The pasuk or the Braita? What's going on over here? Ravuna Kraka Amar. Well, how in the world is the Braita learning that pasuk? Amar Ula. Listen. If anything, the pasuk is saying not like Ravuna. Because if the pasuk had said, Cherem is Kodesh Kodeshim LaHashem, I would say, that's teaching me, a Cherem can only be made on Kodesh Kodeshim if it's given LaHashem. But the pasuk doesn't say that. It says, Kol Cherem. What's the point of Kol Cherem? You can't expand the Cherem beyond the Cherem, can you? Yes, because there's two types of Cherem. One is the Cherem LaHashem, and one is the Cherem to the Kohanim. If it says Kol Cherem, it's telling me Honor Abba. Kol Cherem, indeed, even on Kodesh Kodeshim, it still has to be paid up. That's all that it's saying. So, Amar Kra Cherem, Kol Cherem. Wait, Ula said that a Charmei Kohanim is Chal on Kachay Mizbeach? But Ula himself said that if you were Matfis and Ola to the Bedek HaBayit, then even, forget about Charmei Kohanim, even Bedek HaBayit, which Ravuna himself was made on, right? Even Bedek HaBayit, you do not have to pay the money to the Bedek HaBayit. So then what's the Hegdesh Eloi if you don't have to pay the money to the Bedek HaBayit? Ula. Ula said you don't have to pay any money. And that all you... So what does Hegdesh Eloi mean? Says Ula. Ein ba ela ikuv gizborim bilvad. The only thing is that since you gave the rights for this Hakarava to the Gizbar of the Bedek Abayit, they will have to call him up and say, listen, we're about to bring this carbon, which somebody gave to you. We don't bring a carbon unless you're standing there at the carbon. Will you please come over to the Mizbeah? Thank you. And he has to leave his office and come over to the Mizbeah. That's all. But as far as owing money, I don't owe money. So, I mean, it's ridiculous to say that there, if he's even arguing about whether there's any monetary value in a Hegesh Eloi to Bedek Abayit, it's absolutely ridiculous to claim that Ula says there's even monetary value in Charmei Kliyani. Where would that come from? So how could he say that? So you see that Ula holds that even for Bedek Abayit is not really a chalois. So what do you, it's a complete contradiction to what Ula just did when he explained the Pasuk, and he said the Pasuk is going not Ali with the Ravuna, says the Gemara, because you need to understand, the Pasuk was not talking about Hegdash Eloi, as much as you would love to believe it, and everything like adds up, but it's not what the Pasuk was talking about. The Pasuk was coming to tell me a Chiddush, that even things that you would think there's no din of Me'ila on, there is a din of Me'ila. And it's coming to teach me that Kol Cherem is Kodesh Kodashim LaHashem, meaning that until it gets to the Kohen, if somebody comes along and uses it and misappropriates it, so you would say, I mean, okay, but I mean, it doesn't belong to Hegdash. He only gave it to the Kohen, right? So why would there be a Chiyav of Me'ila? The Pasuk is coming to tell me, until it gets to the Kohen, it's a Chiyav of Me'ila, because me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is Kavayochel holding on to it. And he's saying, this has got to get to the Kohen. Somebody who misappropriates it is actually going to be over on Me'ila. Right? That's what it really means. I told you the Pasuk, Cherem, Kol Cherem. It was in Esmachta. That's Min HaRabbanan. This is how Rashi understands. So therefore, the correct years according to Rashi is Min HaRabbanan, that the denim of Hegdash Eloi in terms of actually owing money is Min HaRabbanan. So Rashi says it's not the Rabbanan, it's Min HaRabbanan. And the Pasuk was only really coming midiraisa to tell me that there's a din of Me'ila on Charmei Kliyani. Me'ila? I understand. What do I need a Pasuk of Me'ila? Isn't the idea itself of using the word Kodesh Kodashim? It says, Kol Cherem Kodesh Kodashim U'LaHashem. The very word Kodesh Kodashim U'LaHashem is enough to tell me that there is a din. Is it Kodesh Kodashim mean it belongs to the Lord? So if it says Kodesh Kodashim, then I know that there's Me'ila. I don't need to say, what do I need an extra pasuk to tell me? All Haramim are always called Kodesh Kodashim. Says the Gemara, oh really? Is that so? Wherever it says Kodesh Kodashim, I don't need a pasuk to tell me that you need that you're going to be over on Me'ila? Well, you're going to have a very difficult time explaining the following. Vilataimeh. If according to you, that wherever it says Kodesh Kodashim, it means by definition Me'ila, how do you explain Reb Yanai? Reb Yanai said an amazing statement. Ein Me'ila Mefureshet Min HaTorah Ela Ba'ola Bilvad. The truth is, in the parsha of Me'ila, since it says, Shenema Nefesh Kitim Omal V'chata Bishkaga Mikadshei Hashem, what does Mikadshei Hashem mean? HaMiyuchadim LaHashem. What carbon is completely and totally miyuchad l'Hashem? Only the carbon oila. Then it introduces the din of mud nefesh kitim omal, and that you have to bring a carbon asham and so on and so forth. Avochatas for asham. From that pasuk, would you know that if you went ahead and you misappropriated a carbon chatas or a carbon asham, are chatas for asham kodesh kodeshim? Does it say beferish chatas kodesh kodeshim l'Hashem? Yes. Does it say by Asham b'mufurash Kodesh Kodashim Ula Hashem? Yes. And nonetheless, Rav Yanai is saying, I have no way of knowing that there's a din of Me'ila on Chatas v'Asham, despite the fact that it says Kodesh Kodashim. If it wouldn't be for Rebbe's drasha, what was Rebbe's drasha? No, Navka Elamita Rebbe. Because Rebbe says, why does it say Kol Chelev L'Hashem? What is the point of saying Kol Chelev L'Hashem? Obviously Kol Chelev L'Hashem. I mean, that was the part that is meant to be put on the Mizbeah. Comes along Rebbe. Now, Rebbe himself does not agree with Rabbi Yana. Because Rabbi himself holds, when it says, Mikotche Hashem mikutzchata. So how do you know it means kulay lasha? But when you're talking about kachim kalim, where you have a carbon shlomim, how do you know that the part of the shlomim, which is the chelet, that is brought on the mizbeach, how do you know that there's a me'ilah on that? Maybe since the whole animal is being brought by me and I eat the meat, maybe there's no me'ilah at all. Oh, says Rebbe, for that, it says kol chelev la'ashem, which is murabot, even a murim kachim kalim le'me'ilah. And I say, says Rebbe Yanai, for Rebbe, that's all that it was coming to teach me was a murim kachim kalim. But for me, not only does it add a murim kachim kalim, it adds a, Mary, it adds a din of me'ilah even on chatas va'asham. Because there too, kol chelev la'ashem. Perfect. Which I wouldn't have known if it wouldn't have been for Rebbe's drasha. Now, I ask you, excuse me? I need Rebbe's pasuk? Why in the world does Rabbi Yanai need Rebbe's pasuk? Lama ikra? It says beferish kodesh kodeshim, both on chatas and asham. According to you, well, wherever it says kodesh kodeshim, what do you need a pasuk for? Yeah? So ask Rabbi Yanai the same thing. What do you see from here? That alafagav afagav diktivu kodesh kodeshim. Nonetheless, you need a separate pasuk to be marbet for me'ilah. Charamim nami, even though it uses the lashon of kadosh kadoshim in the ikadinami of charamim, you still need this extra pasuk l'rabinu l'me'ilah. So that doesn't bother me. Okay. Anyway, I would still like to go back to what Ula said. Ula said that if you're magdish and eila to the bedek habayit, you don't pay a dime. All you need to do is telephone the gizbar and tell him to come over from his office and stand by the mizbeach. So ein ba la'ik of gizborim bilvad, but that doesn't seem to be true, because it says in the Braita, Meitve, if you were magdish and oil to the bedek habayit, you cannot shech that korban unless you pay achet tipa den. How can Ula say that you don't have to pay? You just have to phone up the gizbar. It says you have to pay. No, Ula agrees you have to pay min rabbanan. Like he said, the whole din that these nidorim of Hekdash Iloy are really chal, that is true, but it's only the Rabbanah. We were just using the pasuk of Me'ilah as an esmachta for the overall chalos. But in reality, in terms of what the Torah was saying, it was only adding a din of Me'ilah. And by the way, Achinami Mistavra, I mean, it must be that we're only talking about the Rabbanah. Because the Braita continues and says as follows, Midiktani Misefa. Im avar v'shachata, however, if you went ahead and shechted it without paying, it would still be perfectly kosher. What do you mean it would be perfectly kosher? How would it be perfectly kosher? It's not included in korban. No, the low korban shall hekdesh. So how could you shecht a korban that's not your korban? If you really needed to be paid it, it would mean that it's not in your rishos. Therefore, you can bring somebody else's korban. Therefore, clearly the bride is saying, look. Really, it's your carbon in your eyes, because you don't really own a penny. However, the Rabbanan said that there's a concept called Hekdesh Iloi that is more than just the schus of the akrova, which is ikuv gizbori. And it's actually monetary. Okay, but we're not going to passel the carbon because of our new mitzvah to pay Bedek Habayit. You pay Bedek Habayit. If you brought it without paying Bedek Habayit, it's also kosher. Pay Bedek Habayit afterwards. But the point is, we want you to respect that netter and pay up for it. Says the Gemara, can't mean that. Because the next piece of the Braita says, Iyachi Ema Seifa, which is the third part of the Braita, that says, Umo'alin Shtei Mi'ilot. You're going to be chayiv, because here we have a really weird situation. We have a korban oila, which is Hekdash of Mizbeach, and there's a din of Mi'ilot and Hekdash Mizbeach. And we also have a separate Kedusha Bedek Habayit. There's a din of me'ilah on Bedek Habayit. So therefore, if you went ahead and you misappropriated, you would be doing two completely different me'ilahs. One connected to Mizbeach and one connected to Bedek Habayit, and you'd be chayef twice. But if it's only Drabbanan, then, I mean, how can you possibly, I mean, they don't own anything in it. You're saying there's no monetary value that they own. If there's no monetary value that they own, how can you possibly be doing me'ilah on something that it doesn't belong to them? You're only chayav a me'ilah when Hekdash says, hey, don't touch that, that's mine, but it isn't yours. I mean, midrabbanan, yes, but that doesn't make you chayav me'ila. Wherever it's a drabbanan issur, we always say lo ne'anim or mo'alim, right? So how come over here you're telling me two me'ilot? Imin rabbanan, amay shtei me'ilot? Says Gemara, it doesn't literally mean that you're going to be chayav twice. It means, you know, you have to look at this. You have to look at it as if it's two separate conditions. It's ru'uya limol b'shtei mi'ilot. Obviously, since we're only telling you the rabbanan to look at it that way, you wouldn't really have to bring a carbon me'ila again for it. But that's how you need to look at it. Okay, now the last piece over here. The machlokas. According to the rabbanan, imetu yikavru, mashmen, we're going on both types. Echad kachem mizbeach, echad kachem berek habayit. Imetu, if they died, yikaveru. Comes along Rabbi Shimon and says, no, if it's katshe berek habayit, then you padu. You don't have to let them die. Okay. So now, how do we understand the machlokas of the Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah? You can actually use it. Right. You can pay for it. Oh, I'm sorry. Sometimes I just flip. Okay. Anyway, but you understand it. Yeah. Now, we have had this machlokas numerous times before, and that is, how are we to interpret the din of a shita that says, Rabbanan that said, im metu yikaveru, versus Rabbi Shimon that says, im metu yipadu. We know that the issue that's involved is the question of ha'amada v'haracha. That's clear. But we do not know clearly whether the Rabbanan were saying im metu, meaning either type, mizbeach or berek habayit, and Rabbi Shimon was saying no, only one type, or whether maybe the Rabbanan were also saying one type, meaning kotche berek habayit, and Rabbi Shimon was arguing about kotche berek habayit, but I'm not sure. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, let me just clarify this. According to the Rabbanan are a direct continuation of the opening line of the Mishnah. The opening line of the Mishnah was Echad Katshe Mizbeach, Echad Katshe Berek Habayit, right? Okay. The Rabbanan are continuing those words and are saying, and if either of them dies, it has to be buried. Meaning that on both Katshe Berek Habayit and Katshe Mizbeach, there is a din of Hamad of Arach. And Rabbi Shimon is coming along and saying, no, I agree with you when it comes to the Katshe Mizbeach, but if it's Katshe Berek Habayit, then there's no problem because there is no din of Hamad of Arocha, and even though it's dead, so what? Pay Hagdish for it and eat it if it was shechted or whatever you want to do with it. Fine. So let's see that inside. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, according to the Rabbanan, Echot Katshe Mizbeach Echot Katshe Berek Habayit are included in Hamad of Arocha. And Rabbi Shimon was arguing only on that latter case. Whereas Reish Lakish says, oh, no, 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 no. The machlokas over here is a machlokas of extremes. And where one holds there is, the other one holds there's not. And where the other one holds there is, the other shita holds there's not. And the Rabbanan and Reish Lakish, and the Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon are diametrically opposed, according to Rabbi Shimon. Because I say, says Reish Lakish, according to the Rabbanan, only Katshe Berek Habayit require Ha'amad of Arocha, and Katshe Mizbeach do not require Ha'amad of Arocha. Katshe Mizbeach lo hayu b'chol Ha'amad of Arocha. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, on the contrary, only Katshe Mizbeach require Ha'amad of Arocha, and Katshe Berek Habayit do not require Ha'amad of Arocha. So this is an extreme machlokas from one extreme to the other. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's not from one extreme to the other. Rabbanan holds everything requires Hamad of Aracha, and Reb Shimon holds only Katshe Mizbeach require Hamad of Aracha. But much more reasonable. Now, you should also know that both Reb Yochanan and Reish Lakish, of course, agree that according to Rabbi Shimon, Katshe Berek Habayit are not included in Hamad of Aracha. I mean, that's what Reb Shimon says. We've got nothing to discuss about that. And Katshe Mizbeach is included in Ha'amad of Aracha, because, I mean, he said the Farish, only Katshe Berek Habayit, he says, im metu yipadu. Okay, so Rabbi Shimon holds that for sure, that Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan don't argue about. Furthermore, another thing they don't argue about is that Kedushas Domim that was given to the Mizbeach How is that? You take an animal that has a mum kavua, you give it to the mizbeach. You say, you use this, which means they're going to have to sell it and buy a carbon with it. That, for sure, is not included in Amar Bara, because that's neither Kiddush Zaguf, nor is it Kiddush Zibera Gabay. There, the Torah we never found gave a din, because it's certainly not Kiddush Lashem in that case, and it's not Bera Gabay. Okay. Now, the Mishnah does not make sense according to Reish Lakish. I'll tell you why. Read the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kotche Berek Habayit Shemetu Yipadu. Okay? Now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, this is a perfectly reasonable statement. The Rabbanan were talking about two cases, Kotche Mizbech and Kotche Berek Habayit. Rabbi Shimon responds and says, well, Kotche Berek Habayit, you're wrong. But according to Reish Lakish, the Rabbanan never, ever discussed Kotche Berek Habayit. Right? All they were talking about is was Bichlal Hamad of Arocha is, I mean, Mizbeach. They were only discussing Kotche Berek Habayit. So Rabbi Shimon should have said, no, actually, Imetu Yipadu, because nobody ever mentioned Kotche Mizbeach. So why did Rabbi Shimon say Kotche Berek Habayit Shemetu Yipadu? So Bishlav, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that the Rabbanu were talking about two cases. Whether it's Kotche Berek Habayit or whether it's Kotche Mizbeach, both cases would require Amar Baruch, and therefore both cases imetu yikaveru. So now I need to explain. Rabbi Shimon has to come along and say, well, I would not agree with that entire statement. Part of the statement I disagree with. Which part of the statement? The part about Berek Habayit. So Haina Deitzak Rabbi Shimon LeFerushi, when it comes to Kotche Berek Habayit, shemetu yipadu. But according to Reish Lakish, that's all we're talking about. Because the Rabbanan hold that Kotche Mizbeach are not included in Amar. So why in the world does he have to say, well, when it comes to Berek Habayit, I'm talking about Berek Habayit, right? So Lama Leila Farushe, why did Rabbi Shimon have to say it? He could have just have said, no, not true. Imetu Yipadu. You say Kotche Berek Habayit, that mate, Yikaveru. I say, no, Yipadu. There's no need for me to talk it out, is there? You're right, but that's assuming that the Rabbanan were crystal clear about what they were talking about. I mean, were they? Were they? They just said, Yipadu, Yikaveru. Do I know what they're referring to? Do I know whether they're referring to both cases at the beginning of the Mishnah, which is Echad Kotche Mizbeach, Echad Kotche Berek Habayit? Or were they referring only to one of the above? So Amar Lecha Reish Lakish, listen. Rabbi Shimon didn't know what the Tanakhama was saying because they didn't explain themselves. So Rabbi Shimon lo havi yada mai d'amar Tanakhama. So therefore, he wants to actually blanket whatever they said with. So he's talking about now a spray gun, okay? He's saying like this. Look, he says, I don't know what you mean. If you're talking about Kotche Mizbeach and you're saying Kotche Mizbeach that died, that they have to be buried, oh, you're right. I agree with you. If you're talking about Berek Habayit, I disagree with you. Because you better buy in, imetu yipadu. Then you decide what you're talking about. Would be nice if you'd explain yourselves. In fact, we have a braita that goes like Rabbi Yochanan. Tani gavate, Rabbi Yochanan. It says like this. V'imko behema timea, asher lo yakrivu mimenu korban l'Hashem. So remember that we have always explained this pasuk as referring to Baalei Mumim. And not to a behema tmeya, literally, right? So the continuation of that pasuk is vehemid hakohen veherich. So that means that a baal mum requires vehemid hakohen veherich. So you see that there is a din of hamad of aracha. Im kol behema tmeya asher lo yakrivu mimenu korban laHashem vehemid et hakohen et habehema lifnei hakohen. So you see from there, Baalei Mumim definitely require, Baalei Mumim are obviously Mizbeach. I mean, there's no such thing as Baalei Mumim because Baalei Mumim are irrelevant to Kotche Berek Habayit. Baal Mum is nothing but a tractor. I mean, who cares, right? Fine. So that's referring to Baalei Mumim of Kotche Mizbeach. Well, says who? Says you? Atalomer Baalei Mumim. Maybe it means exactly what it says. Maybe it's referring to really a behema temea. And it's talking about a behemoth tamea that was given. I mean, what is the word I usually mean in the Torah. I mean, doesn't it mean like a piggy or a camel or whatever? I mean, all of a sudden it means a palmon. So why not say it means what it means? And it's talking about that I gave it to the Kachi Berakabayit. And it's saying the Kachi Berakabayit require Hamad of Aroch. Right? You with us? Ah, it can't mean that. Because the Pusik later on says, Ve'im ba'behemahat me'ah, so then upada be'erkecha. Now that is talking about a behemahat me'ah. By the way, why don't we do it in the other way and first say the behemahat me'ah? The first behemahat me'ah means a behemahat me'ah. And the second one is adding even a balmum. Because the first Pusik says, Ve'im ba'behemahat me'ah, shelo yakrivim minu korban la'ashem. So what are you telling me, behemahat? You have to tell me really that I don't pick a pig on the mizbeah. Therefore, you're defining what behemah tmeya do I mean? Tmeya vis-a-vis the mizbeach, asher lo yakrivu mimenu korban l'Hashem, which is as a mom. The other one just says behemah tmeya. That means a real behemah tmeya. But anyway, what do we see from here? That both the behemah tmeya to berek habayit and a balat mum for the mizbeach, ve'emid ha-kohen ve'erichotam. So you see from here very clearly, Haman imikayem, the first pasuk being called behemah tmeya, asher lo yakrivu mimenu korban l'Hashem. That's got to be talking about the balei mumi. And it's telling me they could be niftem, but they need amad amarach. You might think it means even a balmum currently, which could be cured, which is called a balmum over. Talmud lomar, that's where it says, asher lo yakrivu mimenu. You'll never bring this as a korban l'Hashem, because it cannot be cured. Shena kreva kolika. If it was only referring to Balmum Over, it wouldn't be called a Shelo Yakrivu, Yatztazu. That excludes a case where maybe Hayom in a Kriva, but Labachar is Kriva. So therefore, the Pasuk is coming to tell me, Beferish. And what does it say to do with this Balmum? Ha ha ha. Amar Achmana, Avid La Amar Avarocha. Do Amar Avarocha. Who holds that? According to Reish Lakish, this therefore is Rabbi Yochanan, that they both actually refer to the Hamad of Aracha. Both the Kachim is bad. This is obviously not Rabbi Shimon, because it's the Sifri. Excellent. Wow. Beautiful. Okay. Not only is it's beautiful enough to allow us a happy day for Brucey so that we can do our review. How do you like that? And that's just what we're going to do as soon as I get this recording moving. Oh, Sir Richard, how are things coming along, Sir Richard, while I get the recording up?
There we go.
Excellent. Today's review in Masechet Timura is the first daf of the seventh perek with a full heart of Lamed Beit. Rabbi Shimon Omer, well, not necessarily, because they're not bechlal ha'amad abaracha. Omer Ravuna, my time, Omer Kroko, Kadosh Kadoshimu, only Lashem. Kol cherem of kodesh kodashim laHashem laHave mitve kodesh berakabayit shidvison bein the kodesh mizbeach bein the charmi kayanim lo asaklo and charmi kayanim shidvison bein the kodesh mizbeach bein the kodesh berakabayit lo asavolaklo and you very very conspicuously leave out the missing third case, which is kodesh mizbeach shidvison the charmi kayanim mashma that it would work masha asasui to yuf to the ravuna. No, it wouldn't work. The only reason we left it out is Kishire on the other part, that Kachem is Bea, that he feeds on the Berakabayit. There, it would work. Masha Sasri, but Enochinam. So why not at least mention that case with Naya Gabehanach? Because this Breita is set up that the Tana is mentioning only cases where there's two things that cannot be achieved by one thing. So Tana did Beitar take a Tana. But if I can only exclude Kachem Mizbeach from Charmei Kayanim and not from Hekdesh Iloi to Perek Habayit, I can't fit it into this Braita. So the let Beitar te lo katanim tonight. In the Mishnah, it says, our Mishnah, Magdishin Otam Hekdash Ilui, which I'm assuming means Hekdash Ilui, the Berakah Bayit. And then it says, Umachrimim Otam, which I mean, assumes Machrimam Lekan Rekanim. No? No. Idebe Idekachi, Berakah Bayit. And the Mishnah's finish is that your language is unimportant. Loshna Mapiklu, Beloshin Hekdash, Berakah Bayit. And Loshna Mapiklu, Beloshin Charme, Berakah Bayit. But halotaniyachi, the brayta says beferish tanya bebrayta hekdash ilui. That's a reference to kachi berakabayit. Machri mimotam. That's a reference to karmi kohanim. And there's another brayta that spells it out for you. Tanya kachi misberach gedisha lecharmi kohanim is mashas asur to yufta the ravuna to yufta. But what about the pasuk ravuna kroka ama? Amar ula the pasuk. The pasuk is mash really opposite of ravuna. Amakra Kherem and Kol Kherem, which includes even Karmi Kohani. What? You're telling me that Ula holds that really? There's a diraita that says that Karmi Kohani and that these Ekdeshes are Chal? Ula held even Ekdesh Ilui is in Chal. Mi Amar Ula Achi, Va Amar Ula Matvis, Ula Labedek Abayit, Ein Ba Ela Ikuv Gizborin Bilvat. That's really the pasuk does make sense, but the din of paying is a derabbanan. It's a rabbanan, and it should say midrabbanan. The pasuk is referring to the din of me'ilan karmikan, and that's what it's coming to me. You tell me, me'ilan. It says beferish kodesh kadashim k'tiba. From the time here, when Rabbi Yannai says ein me'ilan mefureshet min haTorah ela ba'ola bilvad shenemar nefesh kitimo ma'al vechatabish kagami kachei Hashem. That means kach Hashem that are entirely miyuchadim l'Hashem, like a karban ayla. But a chatas v'asham, they're not entirely. And the only way we know that there's a din of me'ila on them is from Rebbe, lo nafka elamid a Rebbe, the Tanya Rebbe Omer. Kol chelav l'Hashem even includes emurim kachim kalim l'me'ila. Certainly, for me, says Rabbi Yannai, it also includes the din of chatas va'asham. Now, why are you not very deeply troubled, my dear son? Lomalikra, doesn't it say the words kadosh kadoshim by chatas? Doesn't it say the words kadosh kadoshim by asham? And didn't you say that wherever it says kadosh kadoshim, it means me'ila? So bite the bullet. You see from here, afagav, that it says kadosh kadoshim k'tibu. You need a different pasuk to tell me l'ravina l'me'ila, and kadosh kadoshim does not necessarily imply me'ila. And if that's the case, charamim nami. Afagav the kachay kadoshim dibu, you're going to need a separate pasuk to tell me the din of me'ila. Anyway, getting back to Ula's statement, where Ula claims that if you're magdish and oil l'berek abayit, the only issue is not monetary. It's just the fact that they have the schus of the akrava, and that's called ik of gizborim, that you have to phone up the gizbar to leave his office and come to the mizbeah. So ain by Allah ik of gizborim bilvat. But that can't be true. Look at this bright matrix. Magdish ola laberek abayit asur l'shokata ad shetipa deh. You have to pay for it. Mirabonan, I said already, says Ula. I said mirabonan that there's a din of hegdash ilui. That if you didn't pay and you were over and you shechted at Masha Asa Asri, must be that it really is only Drabana. What? Then look at the third part of the Braita. If it's only Mirabana, I'm a Seifa, Molim Shtemi Ilot, Imirabana, I'm a Shtemi Ilot. That just means that's how to look at it. Ru'uya, had it been a Dioraita, Limoba Shtemi Ilot. We made to Yikaberu. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, let me explain the machlokas between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbanan, Echad Kachem Izbeach, Vetkot Kachem Berek Abayit, Oyu Bechlala Amadav Arach. Rish Lakish says, no, the Rabbanan are only referring to Kachem Berek Abayit, Oyu Bechlala Amadav Arach. Kachem Izbeach, Loya Bechlala Amadav Arach. Both Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish agree that according to Rabbi Shimon, it's clear what Rabbi Shimon is saying. V'zeh v'zeh, Meida, that the Rabbi Shimon, Kotche Berakabayit were not Bechlal HaMadav Aracha, and Kotche Mizbeach were Bechlal HaMadav Aracha. And furthermore, both Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish agree, Dibre HaKol, that a Baal Mum Meikaro that was given to the Mizbeach is not Bechlal HaMadav Aracha. Anyway, look at the Mishnah carefully. It's not. Rabbi Shimon Amar Kotche Berakabayit, Shemei Tu Yipadu. So now, the way I read it is like this. The Abisham of the Rabbi Yochanan, the Omar, the Rabbanon Echad Zev Echad Zev, Yubiklal Amod of Arocha, that explains the language of Rabbi Shimon, that he needed to specify when it comes to Kachay Berek Abayit Shemaito over there, Yipadu, right? But according to Reish Lakish, all we're talking about is Kachay Berek Abayit. So why the heck does Rabbi Shimon mention Kachay Berek Abayit? Lomen Leilev Ferushin. All Rabbi Shimon needed to say was Lema, Imeitu Yipadu, period. Amar Lecha Reish Lakish, that's because Rabbi Shimon lo aviyada maigama tanakama. Vachi kamale. He's telling them, look, you're not even clear. I mean, you don't even talk properly. If you're talking about Kachay Mizbeach, fine. That part I would agree with you. You're talking about Kachay Berek Abayit, I disagree. And Imeitu Yipadu. Tanya Kavasid Rabbi Yochanan, Im Baema Asher Lo Asher Yakrivu Mimenu. So this is Bale Mumin, that they have to be Nifta, and it says, Vemida Kohen, She Yipadua Katur Medaber. I don't remember Bale Mumin, maybe it means a real Behemoth Tmeah that was given to Kachay Berek Abayit, Kishomer, afterwards, at the end of the parasha, where it adds, Ve'imba Behemah Tmeah Fadabe Erkecha, that is a real Behemoth Tmeah. So then, Are Behemah Tmeah Amur, Hama Anime Kayem, that's got to be referring to Bale Mumin Shiyipadu, and that they require Amad of Arach. Yocha Yipadu Amum Overt Amal Asher Lo Yakrivu. Never, never. Shena Kreva Koika, which would not include a Bale Mumin Over, Shena Kreva Ayom, which is Kreva Lamacha. What did the Torah say to do with this Bale Mumin that was Kaddish from this Be'ah? Amar Rachmana Ovid La Amad of Arach. So clearly there's a din of Amad of Arach on Kachay Mizbeach Aliba, the Rebbe Yehuda, the Mechaber of the Sifri, who is the one of the Zarabonon who argued with Rebbe Shimon. Very good. A pleasure.